Psalms 40, and we'll just read the first five verses this morning. And thank you for that beautifully done, great message. Thank God that He loves sinners like us. Amen. Psalms 40, the 40th Psalm, if you'd please stand for the reading of the Bible if you're able. I forgot to mention Brother Dively. He's still in the hospital. They thought they were going to release him on Friday, and they ended up keeping him. They're still wanting to observe some things. And I'll just let you know, he's struggling. Brother Nichols went yesterday to check on him, and he told me, he said, he just doesn't look real good. And he needs our prayers. And so I forgot to mention that earlier, and I want you to keep Brother Dively in your prayers, please. Psalms 40, to rescue a sinner like me. Now think about that. Psalms 40, verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock. I love this next phrase, and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Now, verse 5, this will be the main text. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done. And then there's a comma. Now think about this. And thy thoughts, which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, what's them? Thy thoughts, which are to usward. So if I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. And I'm going to preach a message entitled, God Has You on His Mind. God has you on His mind. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that You'd help me, dear God. Give me the words to say. Lord, thank You for the Bible. Thank You for how it explains itself. Thank You for the Holy Spirit that helps us to understand it. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that You would just bless the preaching of Your word. Be with our junior church, primary church. Lord, our next level church, dear God, our nursery workers, wherever there's folks gathered, Lord, just be with them in a special way. Bless the preaching and teaching of Your word as it happens all over our church plant this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Wow, think about that. If you look in the same chapter, Psalms chapter 40, and look at verse number 17, this is the closing verse of the psalm. Notice what it says. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Now, there's no way I can do this, but when I got done with this message and I reviewed it, I thought to myself, I wish that instead of presenting this message publicly to a group of people, I wish there was the time. I wish there was the opportunity. I wish that I could have scheduled this week with every single person sitting in here some time to talk to you one-on-one and look you in the eye and make sure that you understand that when I'm talking about God has having you on His mind, He is talking about you. This is for you. Okay? This isn't just for the preacher. We talked about a missionary this morning. It's not just for people that you know what, have their act all together. I've never met that person, but if there is one out there, it's not. Listen, God thinks about us. God thinks about you. David was able to say, "But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me." And I begin to contemplate that. And then notice verse number 5. Let's read it again. Let's get it in our heart. Many, 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 O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts. And by the way, that word many, come on, English teachers, I'm not mistreating that, is attached to that also. And many thy thoughts which are to us were, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. God has you on His mind. He's had you on His mind every moment of every day this past week. He's got you on his mind right now. You say, preacher, how in the world can he do that with all the people on this planet, all the people that are saved? How in the world? Let me tell you something. His ways are so far above our ways. His thoughts so far above our thoughts. I'm glad he doesn't deal with human limitations. He can be just as focused on you as he is on me. He can be just as focused on another brother or sister than he is on the children of God on this side. And God thinks about you. Boy, the devil's good about spreading his lies. And he comes alongside us and says, God doesn't care. And that is such a wicked lie. God doesn't care about you. God doesn't think about you. God doesn't have a plan for your life. God's given up on you. Every single one of those things I just said is a lie of the devil. And by the way, if you've thought that, let me just tell you what's happening. You're not thinking it, you're hearing it. Okay? I want you to hear the Lord this morning. I want you to hear the Bible this morning, because, you know, the Word of God dispels all the lies of the devil. And he says, listen, thy thoughts, which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. Now, let me just get some basic introductory questions answered biblically, okay? Because I want the Bible to speak to us. Let me ask this question. You say, preacher, when you talk about God thinking about you, who does God think about? Well, the first four verses, notice this. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock and established my going. He put a new song in my heart. In my mouth, even praise unto our God. Listen, it's talking about a saved person here. Yes. And I got to thinking about this. Come on, every one of you that are parents, you know, let me just ask you a question. I don't care how old your children are. You're going to tell me that you spent this entire week and you never had any thoughts about your children? I mean, you say, preacher, who does God think about? He thinks about his children. I think this is relatable for us. You say, preacher, I'm not saved yet, so God doesn't think about me. Oh, he does think about you. The Bible says that God's not willing. He's not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. And he longs to make you one of his children. But this specific chapter, folks, we can't take these words out of context. He's talking about, listen, because I waited patiently for the Lord, because I was willing to cry unto him, he inclined unto me. I love this. This is such a great description of salvation. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And folks, if you try to live your life without God, you know what you're going to find? That you just go from one pit to another pit to another pit, and you get mired down and mired down and mired down. And you know what? Come on. It just seems like, you know what, preacher, I can't even figure out what my purpose is. Well, I know how you can have your goings established. I know how you can get a new song put in your heart. Come on now. Even praise unto our God. I know how you can use, God can use your life so that many will see it. See the change that's come into you. And want to trust in the Lord themselves. But so God thinks about his children. By the way, I think about my children. Yeah, I want to just share this with you. It's a Bible doctrine, so I want you to make sure you know it's from the Bible. But the day you got saved, you got adopted. Hey, where do you get that? John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I got to dispel something, folks. Again, we got to stand where God's word stands. But this whole thing about everybody walking around saying, we're all God's children, that's just not biblical. But as many as received him. Now, does he want you to be his child? Yes. Is he willing to make you his child right now, today? Yes. But you know what? David had to come to a point where he was willing to cry out unto the Lord. He was willing to recognize the condition he was in and the frustration of his life and the wickedness of his ways. And he just turned to God and said, I need help. I need you. And God reached out and pulled him out of that pit. Brushed him up, cleaned him up, put him on a solid rock and said, I got a way for you to go. I got a path for you to go. I got something for you to accomplish. By the way, I'm going to put a new song in your heart. You're going to have joy where you've never had joy. You're going to have happiness where you've never had happiness. You're going to experience purpose in your life in a way you've never experienced it before. And all of a sudden it's like, hey, guess what? I wasn't an accident after all. God had a plan all along. Woo. You know what? I think about my children. Come on, moms and dads. You think about your children. God thinks about his children. And he's a better father than I am. So who does God think about? Ephesians chapter 5. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in love. That's how God views us. So number one, who does God think about? He thinks about his children. Number two, how often does God think about us? Now, this is where I'm going to confess that, you know, his ways are so far above our ways. I can't attain to what God can do. Come on, every one of us love our children, but you're not going to tell me that you're thinking about all your children every second of every day. Come on now, come on. But you know what? God does. How often does he think about us? What's the Bible say? Many, verse 5. Oh Lord God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us. Now, we're talking about how many. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. That doesn't sound like that God this week just maybe occasionally once or twice thought about Jerry Ross. Or thought about you. He said, well, you know, you want to know how often I think about you? He starts out by saying this. He said, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee, in order unto thee. It starts out with the word many in verse 5. What's that word many mean? It means abundant, abounding, exceedingly plenteous. And then that little phrase, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. They cannot, if you tried to line them all up, you'd never get to the end of the line. I was thinking when Jalen was real small and we'd make those trips out to California to visit you all. She got to this phase where she wanted and she liked little people. Come on, everybody's got kids or grandkids. You need to know what little people are, okay? Am I saying it right? Little people. So she had a handful of these because her dad was kind of cheap. She didn't have very many, but, you know, grandpa comes out there and finds out she likes little people. Well, man, when a grandpa finds out a kid, you know, I'm going to go to Walmart. I'm buying every little people that's in that store, man. I mean, I came with like two sacks of little people, you know, and we just laid them all out there. And you know, Jalen is like, I don't know, she's one of these folks that everything she owns has to be put in a certain place in a certain order. She lines up everything, all faced perfectly, all spaced perfectly in the right direction. And then this is Jesselyn. Ah! She's destructo. So, you know, there you go. So Jalen, she was sitting in her room and she'd be in there for an hour and I'd walk in there and, you know, there, I don't know, we probably had 100 little people and she had them lined up all across in this order. And I'm going to tell you something. I could count the little people, but if you line up, that's what it says here. If you try to line up and put it in a line, all of the thoughts that God had about you this week, he said, you know what? You might as well give up because you can't even number all of them. Think about that. They are more than can be numbered. The word numbered means to score with a mark or a tally, to be enumerated. Well, preacher, just give me a number. How many times does God think about me? You know, it can't be enumerated. Yes, sir. Are you getting this? Preacher, I just feel like I'm out here by myself and I feel like I can't even find God. And I feel like my prayers are hitting the ceilings and I feel like something. Hey, you know what? Again, I want to just let the word of God dispel that and get that out of your heart and get that out of your mind, because every second of every day, God has you on his heart and he has you on his mind. You know why? Because he made you, number one. And then after he made you, if you've received him, he saved you. So you're his twice. Now think about that. And so, number one, who does God think about? He thinks about his children. How often does God think about us? Can't number it. Now here's the third question, and we'll spend a little bit of time on this. What does God say? What? Okay, preacher. He thinks about me, and he thinks often about me, but what does God think when he is thinking about me? You ever done that? Where, you know, you've had somebody walk up to you in church and said, I thought about you this week. And then do they smile and just kind of walk away? And you're like, was that good? You know, how about this? I prayed for you. I'm thinking, well, what did you pray before I get too excited about it? I mean, you know, but so sometimes you say, well, okay, preacher, I get it that God thinks about me. But now don't forget this. I wanted to get this to you. He adopted you. You're his child. This is going to help us, moms and dads, okay? You know, we're made in the image of God. Doesn't mean that we're perfectly like God, but there's a lot of the reflections of God in us, and it helps us to understand him. And he is the one that has chosen to present the relationship that he has with saved people as a father relationship. So think about that. Let me ask you, moms and dads, what do you think about when you think about your kids? Let me give you the very first one. God thinks about how much he loves us. That's what he's thinking. I'll bet God's upset with me. I'll bet God's mad at me. I'll bet, well, listen, folks, I'm going to get to it, but we can, come on. Sometimes our kids frustrate us a little bit. But I promise you, the overwhelming thought in the hearts of even sinful human parents is when they think about their kids, how much you love them. And that's why Romans chapter 8, I love this portion of scripture. We won't turn there, but you ought to go there and read it and personalize it. Romans 8, the closing verses, verse 35 through 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Now listen, nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I love this. Watch it. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Sounds like to me that when God thinks about me, you cannot take love out of the equation. 1 John 3:16. I didn't say John 3:16. I said 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brother. And you know what that verse is given? You know how you can perceive the love of God? Preacher, you know what? How do I know that he loves me? I'll tell you how you can know that God loved you. He sent his son to lay down his life for us. Wow, think about that. 1 John 4:9, and this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. And anytime that the devil comes to you and says God doesn't love you, you just start quoting John 3:16. Because listen to me, folks, I've said it before, I say it quite a bit, but you know what? Words are cheap. And a lot of people will use the word love very flippantly. And perhaps, you know, there are times when somebody has told you that they love you, and then you find out through their actions they do not. But you know what? You check out God's actions. He doesn't just say it. He proved it when he sent his only begotten son to die on the cross for our sins. How about Proverbs 15:9? The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but he loveth him. He loveth him that followeth after righteousness. So number one thought that God has about you today is he thinks how much he loves you. Hey, Christian, understand that. Don't let the devil talk you out of that. Listen, God is going to think about you every moment of today, and he's going to think about you and know what you're going through tomorrow. And the overwhelming thought and the thought that baptizes all other thoughts is that he loves you. He loves you. Number two, God is interested in every detail of my life. What does God think when he's thinking about me? He thinks about how much he loves me. This is so fascinating to me because, you know, I wouldn't blame God if this wasn't true about him. It just goes to show you how wonderful he is. And by the way, how we can't conceive how amazing and all-knowing and all-powerful that he is, because Jesus says in Luke 22, are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings? Now, if we're talking about sparrows, folks, 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God. Okay, we're not even to us yet. He's just talking about birds. He's talking about sparrows. Come on, there are a dime a dozen out there. But he says, you know what? The Bible says here that not one sparrow was forgotten before God. Then it goes on to say this. Listen, but even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. Now, think about this. I love that God gets down to this. I don't know why God in his word chose this illustration, except it just grabs our attention every time you hear it. Because I don't know. Listen, I pray for all of you, but I don't know how many hairs you have in your head, okay? Now, there's a couple of you, it wouldn't take me very long to maybe check out, you know, but I don't know and I don't care. And I'm sure you don't know and you don't, but you know, God chose to use this description and just this reminder. You say, preacher, what does it matter? What it matters is he's trying to tell you this may seem like an unimportant, minute detail, but it isn't to God. He gets it. He gets it. You know, I was having some fun when I went through my first round of chemo. That's when I lost some of my hair, not all of it, but a lot of it. And I said, you know what? God knows the number of hair on your head. And I said, there's some angel down here, and he's got the calculator, and he keeps just hitting the minus button every time I comb my hair, you know, and it's going down quick. But you know what? I didn't lose a one of them that God didn't know. And again, there's a lot of things God could have used, but if he knows the number of hair on your head, don't you think he knows the heartache that you're carrying? Don't you think he knows the burden? Come on, watch this. I don't care how tough we want to act, but don't you know, don't you think he knows the fears of our hearts? And the uncertainty sometimes, and the questioning, and the crying out, and the seeking of an answer sometimes that we can't seem to find. Don't you think, folks, that if he knows and keeps track of the number of hair on my head, I think he isn't interested in the smallest detail of your life. You say, preacher, I don't want to, it's not a big thing and I really don't want to bother God with it. God's never bothered by anything. And if it's a concern to you, I promise you it's a concern to God. Come on. How many times does your kids come to you? I want you to understand this wonderful father-child relationship. How many times your kids come to you and they're worried or they're frustrated or they're fearful over something that seems so silly and so insignificant? And you know what you do as a parent? You know what? Because it's important to them, it becomes important to you. And folks, we're sinful. Come on, we're not always good moms and we're not always good dads. But I'm telling you, our Heavenly Father is a good Heavenly Father. And there's never been one thing that I've ever gone on my knees to him about and said, God, this may seem silly, but I don't get this, or I don't understand this, or I need your help in this. And you don't think he doesn't care? He cares. So number one, he thinks about how much he loves me. He thinks he's interested in every detail of my life. Number three, God remembers that I'm dust. I want to give you some encouragement right here, okay? And by the way, don't let the devil take this truth I'm about to share with you and turn it into evil in your life and make you have the attitude that, you know what, it doesn't matter what I do or if I'm bad or if I sin, you know. But can I just kind of allow everybody to take a breath here for a second, okay? Well, let me read the verses to you. Psalms 103. Like as a father, think about this, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, and he remembereth that we are dust. Now, come on, adult dads, you got little children. You know what? You understand that they have limitations. You understand that they have weaknesses. You understand that there's things that they don't understand. They're lacking understanding. They're lacking knowledge in some things. Sometimes they do have seemingly silly fears. You know, sometimes they're going to fall short. They're going to fall short. Okay? You understand God knows that we're not perfect? God knows even the ones of us that are trying every single day to do the best we can, we're going to stumble and we're going to fall and we're going to fail. And by the way, the right thing for us to do when we do that is to go to our Heavenly Father and say, Father, forgive me and keep your heart clean and get it right. But do you understand that God put these verses in the Bible when he says, as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, for he knoweth our frame. He knows what you can handle, what you can't. And he remembers that we are dust. Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. You may say, well, what does he mean? Remember, we're but dust. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, and God is the one that made us, and he never forgot about what he used. And by the way, every single one of us are going to, come on, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Nobody's going to live up to the holy perfection of God. Not doesn't mean we ought not to try. Come on, again, don't let this turn to evil in your heart. Well, since God understands, since God's always going to forgive me, and I'll just go do whatever I want to, and then at the end of the day, I'll just tell him, no. If your children behave like that, come on, would you see to it they got the blessings that you want to give them? Would there have to, come on, this part of the father-child relationship, the Bible even talks about that even as a father chasteneth his son, so the Lord chastens us at times. Folks, listen to me, it's not all rainbow and roses, come on now. And I don't want to portray God in such a way where we do not include the fact that as a good father sometimes, he may put some things in our life to get us heading back in the right direction a little bit. Come on now. But you know what? At the same time, he knows that we're not him. And he knows that, you know what? We're weak. And he knows sometimes we're going to fail. And let me just say this. You can go to him during those times and find mercy. Come on. And experience that love. And experience that acceptance. And you know what? How do you feel, mom and dad, when you have a kid that messes up and before you even notice what they did, they come to you and they tell you what they did and they're sorry for it? I mean, does that make you think less of that child? Come on, or more of that child? Number four, God loves to think of ways to remind me how much he cares. You don't think about that. God loves to think of ways to remind me how much he cares. Psalms 40 verse 17 says this. Come on, the last verse in that psalm there. It says, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Look at this. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. That father-son relationship. Every good gift. If something good happened this week in your life, let me tell you where it came from. Okay, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variables, neither shadow of turning. Now, come on. And I think that even though this was true when the kids were in our house, you know, there was always a desire in my heart to from time to time just do little things or leave them little reminders that, hey, Dad loves you. Amen. I think every child, come on, mom and dad, come on, dads, every child needs that. We're getting ready to celebrate Mother's Day, Father's Day. We're going to put you on a pedestal. We're going to clap for you and congratulate you. But, you know, let's mimic our Heavenly Father. Does God sometimes just spatter through the week, do little things that just remind you, hey, I got you. I love you. I haven't forgotten about you. You know, the girl's got older, you know, and then you know, when they were little, they were all singing, you know, I want to marry daddy when I grow up, you know, and then they hit about 11, 12, and they just forgot all the words of that song, you know. You know, I was like Superman now, you know, I'm the old man. And then they get married and they go out into life, and you know what, from time to time, I'm just like, you know, I was, it had been a few weeks ago, but I was in my office and we'd been such a busy stretch. And I've been in and out of some treatments and I felt like I hadn't said two words to Tabitha in a month. And, you know, here I was so excited she's come back to Indiana and then I have a month and I don't even speak to her, you know. And I was thinking about her and I walked out here and I walked over and Brother AJ stood up and like, you know, do you need something? I said, nope, I don't need a thing from you. Get out of the way. I grabbed my little girl and I hugged her and I just said, I just want you to know how happy Daddy is that you're here. You know what, folks? It just seems like just when you need it, God will just kind of push everybody out of the way, come up to you and put his arms around you and say, I just want you to know how proud I am to be your dad. And he sends these little reminders. Boy, it's good to be saved. You know, folks, there's so many things that come with salvation. You could spend the rest of your life. You get so many things that you didn't even know came with it when you get saved. But there's this father-son relationship, and God all of a sudden is not no longer a God of wrath because of our sin, but he's He's a father that adopts us and gives us the righteousness of Christ on our permanent record forever. And he starts constructing a mansion. And the time we have left here on earth, he's always thinking of us. And from time to time, just sending these little reminders. Hey, I'm still here. I got you. Woo! Let me give you this one. God is fiercely protective of me. God is fiercely protective of me. Now think about that. Where do you get that, preacher? Isaiah 54, verse 17. Come on, parents. Okay. If somebody wants to mess with me, come mess with me. But I had three little girls at my house. You're not messing with my little girls. By the way, you're not messing with my wife either. I just kill you graveyard dead. Amen. All right. Yeah, I said that on social media. Yeah, all right. I mean, come on, man, if you're not willing to die for your wives, then you don't have the love of Christ. And, you know, God gave me them little girls. I used to tell the teenagers when I was youth pastor here, remember me saying this? I said, God, because we'd play tricks on each other and do stuff. And I'd get them and then they'd get me. And I said, guys, listen to me. This is fun. Let's do it around the church. Don't you ever come around my house at night. Thinking you're going to play, because I'm the only man in the house. I got three daughters and a wife. And I don't ask what you're doing. If I'm hearing something at the window or somebody's coming through the door, all right, we're going to have a funeral that week, okay? So, you know, but you know, I was fiercely protective. Those are my babies. Listen to this verse. Wow. No weapon. This is what God promises. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise up against in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Listen. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Their righteousness is of me. And he said, no weapon that is formed against, listen, I've got human limitations as far as how I can am able to protect my, but God has no limitations. Say, preacher, don't you worry about somebody, you know, plotting this or somebody getting on social media saying this about you or saying this about your church or saying this about your preaching. That's none of my business. That's his business. He said, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Why? Because this is the heritage of the servants. What I'm saying is this. Listen, we're fiercely protective of our children. God is fiercely protective of us. Think about that. I'll close out with this one. Number six, God longs for me to trust him and follow his will. God longs for me to trust him and follow his will. He's a perfect father. Are we always perfect children? But listen, let me just share this with you. I don't care where you're at. I don't know where you're at in your Christian life. You say, preacher, I may have gotten a little bit off the path, or I don't feel like I'm where I ought to be, or I've let some things creep into my life that I know is not pleasing to the Lord. Let me just tell you, you say, preacher, what do you think God thinks about that? He wants to bless you. He wants that relationship. He wants to get things made right. Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know, I've got a great father. Can I just say this? I want to be a great kid. Are you always? No, but I want to be. Come on, I want to make, listen, when my daddy was here on earth, my earthly father, I wanted to make him proud. Yes, sir. Well, let me just say this. 1,000 times more than that, I want to make my heavenly father proud of me. I don't want to do things that shame him. I don't want to do things that disappoint him. I don't want to do things that would cast a bad reflection upon his name. Come on. Come on, as children, I don't care if they're grown children in this community. When they do something, it casts upon their parents' reputation too. Yes. Right. And you know what? If I don't live my Christian life in the proper way, what am I saying about my Heavenly Father? And I just don't want to disappoint him, okay? That's why I need to just trust him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. God's like, listen, you're not going to get it all. You can't see what I see. You're not going to always understand because you can't see the big picture. You don't always understand my plan. I'm going to let you go through some things, but it's because you need to go through them to be who I need you to be so you can do what I need you to do. Trust me. Yes, sir. Trust, just trust me. Lean not into thine own understanding. Just trust me. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Well, let's tie it up, put a bow on it. When I think of how much God loves me, it makes me love him more. When I think of how interested God is in every detail of my life, it makes me want to know him more about him. When I think of how God remembers that I'm but dust, it makes me want to please him more. When I think of how many ways God pours out his blessings on me, it makes me want to give him more. When I think of how protective God is over me, it makes me want to stand up for him more. And when I think of how God longs for me to find and accomplish his will, it makes me want to follow him more. Hey, I don't know what the devil's convinced you of, but I think he sent the preacher up here to tell you that there's no way that you could line up on this planet. Circle the globe, but you could not line up all of the thoughts that God's had for you this week. God has you on his mind. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for loving us. We can't understand it. We can't comprehend it because we're not you. How can we comprehend a God that simply spoke and the worlds came into existence? How can we comprehend a God that speaks and the planets and the stars and the earth is filled with the land and the water and the animals and the birds and just by your words? How can we understand that? And Lord, you certainly do not need us, but thank you for wanting us. And Lord, you're self-sufficient, but thank you for loving us. And Lord, I just pray, dear God, that everybody here that maybe has been beaten down a bit, or maybe, dear God, sometimes because of our shortcomings, we get this wrong picture of how you view us. And sometimes it's because of our guilt, and sometimes it's because of our shame. But Lord, I pray, dear God, as we that have children have thought about our children, and do our children always do right? No. And sometimes do we get frustrated? Yes. But do we ever stop loving them? No. No. If we can do that, I can't even imagine your love. If there's somebody here that's never been saved, Lord, I pray, dear God, that the adoption papers would be filled out today and they just get that settled. Because I know you want them. And I know you love them. And I know you just didn't say it. You proved it. And Lord, for those of us that have been saved, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the many thoughts that are to us word.